Welcome to episode 101, or as they say in DC, 101, of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. We also have special guest, my lovely wife Sherry, here today. And we're going to drink a variety of Belgian-style beers. Maybe one actually from Belgium, but the rest are
you
kind
mean
of Belgian-style.
From Belgium? Not yes. Belgian?
Yeah. All right. So let's get right to it. The first beer is called Urtica from Propolis Brewing Wild Ales in Port Townsend, Washington. Where's that at, Sherry? We've been there before. Oh, it's corked. It's corked.
Oh, excitement. So while we're going to, with this unexpected, and by the way, everybody has COVID except for me, but after all this coughing, I will also have COVID. And while we're waiting for the unexpected cork to be pulled, I say, what makes a beer a Belgian-style beer? What is it that makes things Belgian-style?
Well, that's a good question, Mike.
So am I answering that? Because I can try answering that.
Well, there are some specific styles like a Saison or Trappist doubles, triples, quads, sours that would be considered Belgian styles.
And I mean, I know from my limited knowledge of Belgium, they tend not to be hoppy. It's more focused on the yeast and malt combinations, right?
You said yeast.
Yeah, because that's especially on the saisons. That's how you get those nuances. But I know with some of the Belgians, like the white ales and stuff. I like that rock candy thing going on.
All right, listen for this pour, folks.
Oh, look at that head!
Oh, I made too much pour sound.
No, perfect. You got a nice,
smells delicious,
nice head.
All right, so color of this one. It's a
very translucent. It's not hazy.
Not super hazy. Mm-hmm. Hay colored, light hay colored.
I'd go with that.
Or, so yours doesn't have any head in it left.
Nope.
Just mine doesn't either.
Yours doesn't either. Mine has a big
just
bubbled
like before
head.
The divorce. No head.
As I poured mine more. All right. So this is called. This is from Propolis Brewing. Wild ales is what they make. And they're out there. And this is a Saison brew. Is it Saison or Saison? I always get it wrong.
Saison and Saison. Saison is French and Saison, I think, is the Germanic.
I don't think that's right. Saison brewed with Rush. Is it Saison or Saison? We figured this out last time.
Hey, Siri, is it Saison or Saison?
Oh, my God. 6 minutes of prep. All right. Brewed with Russian red wheat.
Okay. I found this on the web for is it Saison or Saison 6 minutes. Check it out.
6 minutes?
She six threw in the 6 minutes because Siri's a smartass.
And wild nettles. This actually has Russian red wheat. We should be boycotting that. But this is from 2018, so it's pre-invasion.
It was before they became bad guys.
Current invasion.
I mean, after they were bad guys and before they became bad guys, yeah.
All right. Smell. I get some hints of sour, but I also get some fruitiness.
Fruity. I really smell the fruitiness.
It's like a flowery fruitiness, or
I'm getting an apple.
An apple?
Like a tart. I should have been expecting
really
that taste when I'm...
It tastes like a cider.
I got a sour, not a cider. Oh. But I went in thinking it was like a regular Belgian with that gonna have that sweet finish. But I should have taken the bouquet.
It's not that sour like you were.
I wasn't expecting it.
To me, it tastes like one of those fancy ciders that we would get.
Oh come on! You don't feel that.
No, there's some there. There's more than
I would. Because you had COVID, you can't taste it.
There's more than your standard.
Saison,
I would say. Did I say Saison? I have to know how
you say
it. Say,
just do Google. It's like Saison.
It's delicious.
I like it.
Your reaction, I was like, oh, I'm not going to like it. Because I was like.
But for it's very, very tart. And it's the first beer I've had. So my palate's not ready as I've been just drinking water.
Saison.
Saison.
Saison. Right.
Saison.
What were you saying?
I don't know.
I think you're saying Saison, like Saigon, but it's not.
I always say it wrong. That's why I wanted to. Okay, Saison.
Saison.
This is a delicious Saison, guys. Mm-hmm. So this brewery, I don't know much about this brewery other than they're on the peninsula out there in Washington State,
Olympic
right?
Olympic Peninsula. That's where it is. Tippy top of the Olympic Peninsula.
So near Olympic National Park there, beautiful park, no roads going through Olympic National Park, very unique to that park.
Yeah.
Going through the middle of it, it's just kind of...
Well, like Glacier's kind of like that too, isn't it?
There's the one road that goes through it.
Yeah, I think that's true. Go into the sun.
Vintages of 2013, 14, 15, 16, and 18. We have the last vintage of this, guys.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
This is a farmhouse ale brewed with wild stinging nettles.
Stinging nettles.
Stinging nettles you can eat in the wild, but you have to be careful about how you eat them and how you prepare them.
Because they'll sting you?
Because they'll poison you or something.
I watch a lot of
survival shows.
I love food like that. That like one thing you could survive on, or you could die.
Or it'll kill you.
Like all the mushrooms and blowfish and things like that.
Propolis microbes and Breta, whatever that. What is it? Britannomyces.
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 I don't know if I said that right either.
But that sounded good. That sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
So I get like kind of apple and pear flavors.
I definitely get apple. And you were saying
cider. That's why
you
said cider. It tastes like a cider. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that off taste though. That slightly funk thing going, but it's not.
Yeah.
To your point, it's not like a super sour. I might have overreacted.
But I would say more than your typical Saison, right?
So do you know they've been making Belgian beers since the Roman era? They have
Saison.
Saison?
Mm-hmm. Saison. It's Saison.
Since the Roman era.
Yeah, since the 3rd or 4th centuries Common Era or AD or whatever they call it now. What is it, CE or AD?
So you...
CE and CE?
You initially asked the question about... what is a Belgian style beer? Did you have an answer for that? I was opening up the conversation. Good conversation starter, Mike.
Thanks.
The tasting notes it says here, any other flavors you guys want to try and get out of this before I announce the tasting notes? Announce what it actually tastes like and how wrong we are.
Well, I'm not getting a lot of hops in this at all, right?
Are you
getting any hoppy bitterness?
No.
Just like a little mild bitter at the end. Yeah, exactly. The end in the back of your tongue. But other than that, like, this is all the yeast and the malt.
Look at the bottom. This was the second half of the pour.
Oh, that is not as clean as what we drank. That is, you can't see through that at all.
No.
So did you empty the bottle?
What? No.
All right, so tasting notes, woodsy nose, Madrona hue, crisp and creamy, plum and clove, light butterscotch, malt meets forest floor, wild tart tingle. Yes.
The Olympic forest floor.
It does get a wild tart tingle.
Yeah, I got that. I didn't get the dank floor thing, though.
The forest floor, yeah.
Yeah, well, but usually that means that those... IPA from the Pacific Northwest tastes like dirt.
Giving way to a spectrum of spring herbal notes of meadow and forest.
I'll go with that. And it was good with all the dust storm that came outside earlier that was kind of chased us in the house. This cleared the palate.
They do ask you to cellar this for 2 years. So we've got the 2018. So we've got 4 year old here. This is really good.
But not 4 years.
I would,
2 years. If you go plus to 4 years, sorry, the stinging nettles 2 years. Become poisonous. And we will die. Last episode.
All right, found footage.
At least we went out drinking beer.
Food pairings. Game, ripened cheese, roasted veggies, wild mushrooms, potato and leek soup.
Like other things that could kill you.
Grilled asparagus, roasted pork shoulder, bush and nettle meat. Pesto. See? Purchase bottles here. Oh. that was delicious, I think.
I think so, too.
I adored it.
They have a little flavor map on the bottle and on their webpage, which shows, like, here's the different categories.
Oh, wow.
Fruit, warmth, citrus, herbal, floral, spicy, bready, toffee, roasted, earthy, sweet, sour, bitter, sharp, body, linger.
Well, that's our Listomania as well.
And they peak this one at herbal. Lots of herbal.
I see. They also peak it at earthy.
And the low point is roasted.
Yeah.
Low point is also sour. Their very low point is floral. And, of course, I said floral when I did the smell.
So that means you're absolutely wrong. Like, you couldn't have been more wrong about beer.
We just know what tastes good.
But it has earthy as a high point of its flavor profile. And I'm really not getting that earthy.
Is it this part to see if it tastes any different? Part.
Are you getting, does it taste earthy?
It tastes exactly the same.
Okay.
Looks like that bar that we went to in Port Townsend that one time. They have, like, people playing music and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a Victorian town, so they have all these really old buildings.
Where is
Port Townsend?
Port Townsend, okay.
So that's at the Olympic Peninsula. It's up at kind of like the tippy top of the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, in Washington.
In Washington, yeah.
So I'm like, where is there a peninsula in Denver? I thought it was landlocked.
They have a ton of... beers,
right? Because this is from Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thoughts of Propolis Brewing's Urtica, folks. What do you think, Mike?
Can you say that five times fast? The title and the brewery and the beer.
No.
So last thoughts. It was a good saison. But I wish I could have got the clove or the dank. The forest floor. I missed out on because it says earthy on that as like a high point. But Sherry brought up a good point that maybe it's because it's aged 4 years and maybe it's mellowed out and changed that flavor profile. Not to steal your thunder, sorry.
That's fine. That's good.
But, you know.
You gave credit.
It was interesting on the color profile up top, very clean, bottom, you know, all hazy, but the flavor stayed the same despite the clarity of the beer. All in all, good beer, good taste, nice palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, how about you?
I would agree. I loved it. To me, it tasted like sort of one of those custom ciders that we would often get that were like, you know, ciders made with hops or something else. It says it's wild crafted. It's part of their wild ales series, I guess, but didn't really taste any of that. Just kind of tasted like a nice clean.
And by the looks of their website, it looked like a very cool brewery to go to and visit. And they have live music and
how far is it from stuff. Portland?
It's a few hours.
Yeah. I don't know how to, because you'd go up to Seattle and then take the ferry across, probably.
Never mind, that's way too much travel.
Yeah. I guess you could also go up. There's probably another way.
I thought it was delicious. Liked it a lot, too. All right, let's move on to the next one. The next beer.
Wait, Chris.
Yes?
Ask me about recent beer experiences.
Mike, do you have any recent beer experiences?
No. Because there's a pandemic. When would I have had a beer experience?
Oh, no.
Whoa! Another. We got Smoky and Spilly. So while this is going to settle itself, each beer we've opened tonight has given us a surprise. First a cork. Now.
So this beer.
Is that some active fermentation that can bottle conditioning that happened there?
This one's an actual, it's a Trappist beer. I'm not actually sure where it's from. This is a Trappist Echel, this is their blonde from
now you have to be
Echel, Belgium.
You have to be, except for isn't there one American brewery?
Yes, Spencer.
That's allowed to be Trappist.
Spencer in Massachusetts.
And what's the thing about Trappist beers?
Has to be brewed by the monks without commercial intervention from outsiders or in some other sets of things.
Okay.
But back so to, much head on this. Oh, my goodness.
While we're waiting for the head to settle, why don't you tell me about a recent beer experience?
It's been COVID. And I had COVID, so I didn't drink much beer when I had
You
COVID.
Did make international travel.
Did oh, you yes, I did. I was in India again, my second
did
time.
Did you have any pale ale there from India?
The only beer that I had was
Kingfisher.
Kingfisher, and there were three different kinds of Kingfisher that I had. Okay. I had the Kingfisher Strong, the Kingfisher Premium, and what's the other one called?
Kingfisher Light.
Kingfisher Dark, I don't know, and one other, and they were all great when it's like 110 degrees.
But there
so
was
not tons of flavor, but there are brew pubs in India, craft beer in India.
Do they have India pale ales?
They do. The last time I was there, I actually went to a brew pub and had like IPAs and just about every other kind of.
And was there any difference, like, because they're in a lower longitude and stuff. Like, where are they getting? Do you know where they get their hops and stuff?
Yeah, I suspect that they import most of their hops and stuff, but I don't know.
Because you know, that would be an interesting thing for us to do one day if we do a real India beers, maybe if you ever go back or whatever.
Oh, I could actually try to bring some beers back.
And yeah, and then we can do some research about the brewing history in India, if it was there prior to the colonization or not.
Or maybe they had some other local alcoholic beverage.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, not that this is an IPA we're about to drink, but since we're on the topic of India, my God, look at that head. It's like creamy, rocky. That's like a root beer float.
I know. It stands up like a mountain above the glass, the rim of the glass.
That's really cool. That's a picture. That's worthy of a picture, sir. Well, not anymore because you just licked it. The extra hopping of the beers was for the what the sailors did
voyage,
to get to India.
Yes, when British colonialists were in India, they would hop up beers in order to prevent spoilage, and that's where India Pale Ale initially came from. At least that's the story. Could be apocryphal, but that's the story.
So we're going to try a lovely Trappist beer.
A nice blonde.
And who could ask for more than a nice blonde?
Should have started with this one.
Oh, that's way mellow.
Super easy drinking. Mm.
That's a beer.
A little
sweet.
A little sweet for sure. And
I get that boozy, the little tiny boozy taste.
This is 8%, yeah. For a beer that looks like this to be 8%, it looks like Budweiser almost, right?
This is trouble. This is 8%?
Yes.
This is easy drinking beer.
I wonder if they use some of those...
I get a little candy on
rock,
the nose.
The rock, rock candy
for this?
Are you
getting that? Because I'm getting that.
Let me... So I couldn't... the Trappistery, is that what you call it? No, the monkery.
Monkeries.
The
monkeries in Belgium.
The monastery?
They didn't have a webpage.
That's the real word. We make up our own language here.
So they do use, in some Belgian beers, they use rock candy to increase the alcohol level and get that extra fermentation.
But that gives it also that little sweet finish, like the whole Hoegaarden.
Yes. All right, and a shell blonde.
While we're doing the additional minutes of prep afterwards, have you had any recent beer experiences, Sherry?
You know, I was just talking about our last beer experience, going to the beer hall with the boot. So, but that was
the last one.
I was just talking about that. Our last beer experience. Together.
That was a shared beer experience where some of you may have seen some of our our live vodcasting while we went on that wild tour that ended in a German style brew pub in, was it Rhino?
Mm-hmm.
and we got the boots at the end, which makes a lot of sense when you've gone to several craft breweries with high ABVs that you finish the night with like a Dunkel in a 72 ounce boot or whatever the hell it was. That
I was telling my brother about it today.
Knocked us out.
Yeah.
Well, and to that point, your conversation must have been heard by my iPad when I was on the airplane, because that picture from that place came up. And that was a lot of fun that night. And we ate a lot of German cuisine, which Germany is not famous for their cuisine. Lots of pretzels
and sausages with lots of mustards.
Yes, good mustards, though.
So good pairing with a croque monsieur. Or a cordon bleu.
Oh, I like cordon bleu. Oh, look at that.
I know.
Oh, but they specify the cordon bleu made with cheddar cheese.
Not Swiss or Camembert.
And perhaps a not overpowering, a slice of cured ham.
Yeah.
All of those. The croque monsieur is a sandwich, which is like the ham and...
Isn't that like the Monte Cristo?
Yeah, or something like that, yeah. So it's good with ham. This is
beer with an honest, sweet, malty palate.
My girlfriend's dog of bread is sometimes referred to as a ham whore because she loves ham that much.
Young pear and banana, low on body. It's a tender thirst quencher. I will agree with that. Mm-hmm. With just a wisp of bitter in the finish.
Yes, I got that.
Yeah.
Like, it's sweet, but but it doesn't stay sweet. It's got that little, when you sit, like, it gives it almost like that Pilsner kind of bite there at the end.
Yeah. It's just like a little, and it's also kind of on the tongue. Yeah. Where you kind of just get.
And it makes it like a perfect beer. And the fact that it's 8%, like, I would drink 30 of these before I knew it and would just say, oh, no.
I am not a fan of the label.
It's very plain, very monkish, very plain.
Well, looks like it was made in a monkery.
It looks like it was made with
It's like how a county would show off one of their parks.
All right, any final comments on Achelle's blonde?
Did we get its blonde color? Did we talk about that?
We did talk about
the... We talked about the frothy head. Yeah,
that's all we can see.
But it's pretty hazy.
It's a little hazy, yeah.
But my
straw-colored hazy.
And, you know, great, great bouquet, great flavor. And this head persists, very rocky. Look at that.
It's staying till the end. It's like not going anywhere.
And it just super well-balanced flavor profile.
Very nice. I liked it.
I definitely liked it.
All right, Mike, do you have any beer stories or beer in the news you want to talk about while I go grab the next beer?
Beer in the news. Recently wrapped up the World Beer Cup in Minneapolis. And some of our favorite beers, just to highlight news points there to stall for time, is Colorado got 22 medals. The host... state got 6, but two breweries that have been featured on this show, one of which is my favorite, which is Treehouse Brewing. Oh wait, that had nothing to do with the World Cup of Beer. It's just Treehouse News. Let me stick to the World Cup of Beer. 6 minutes of prep. a beer that I picked up because I like Treehouse when I was in Cincinnati for work eons ago, and we did a couple of episodes focused on Cincinnati. We were fans of this brewery called Mad Tree, and they picked up some wins at the World Beer Cup as well, and the featured news on that. But then, you know, finally, a very intriguing bit of news for people who more frequently have an opportunity to get near Boston versus Springfield, where the greatest brewery of ever, Treehouse, is. They're opening a new location very close to Boston, which will make it a little bit easier to get some of those fantastic beers like Julius and others that I just love those beers.
All right, I'm about to pop the cork on the next beer, and I'm hoping for
the microphone.
A little bit of a contained...
Nope. Oh!
Nope, not contained. It ricocheted over and we hit Mike in the nut.
We scared and we scared the dog. Loki, it's okay.
Come on, it's okay, Papa.
Is that smells like that?
Is that or did you poop did yourself?
The dog.
Did Loki fart when he ran away?
It's okay.
Man, I really
like
this.
This is super foamy too. Holy moly.
So I'm all a Twitter and excited. What is this beer we're about to drink?
This beer is a collaboration beer from Hill Farmstead Brewery in Vermont.
Ooh, that's another one we like.
And Brasserie de Blégy in Belgium. It's actually brewed in Belgium. Collaboration between the two.
Well, didn't that Hillstead Farm make a shit ton of sours?
Yes.
And wild beers or whatever they call it. Okay.
You smell that?
That smells like college a little bit. That's a green bottle.
You smell
that?
Yes.
I think this beer got skunked.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the bouquet yet, but I got little wisps of it, and it smelled like Washington, D.C.
No, I think it's Loki. I don't think it's this beer, but...
Oh, my God. That totally smells like... Skunk. Denver.
Oh.
Or Jamaica.
All right.
You don't smell that? Oh, you had COVID, so what the hell are you going to smell?
I don't smell.
Okay, I smell a little skunk, a little dank, and very herby cousin of hops.
MJ, the old MJ. And we're not talking about Michael Jackson. All right, so this is a hazy blonde color with a big frothy head similar to the last one. Maybe it doesn't have as much of the staying power of the last one.
Yeah, I smell it, Mike.
Do you smell it?
I don't even think I... Did we say the name of the beer?
You did not announce this
the
beer.
The beer is called La Vermontoise.
Oh, because... It's Ooh. Green Mountain beer.
So from Brasserie Blaget.
You obviously Blaget took French in high school because your accent is fantastic.
The Hill Farmstead Brewers traveled to Brasserie de Blaget to share in the kindred bond of farmhouse brewing. The result is this classic Saison, right?
I don't remember.
Saison, yes.
Brewed Saison. With spelt and an abundance of Amarillo hops. A true expression
Amarillo hops.
Of noble Belgian tradition and artistic American innovation from the families at Brasserie de Blaget and Hill Farmstead. I've had this beer before, and maybe on our podcast.
Really?
Do you recall any of this? Any of this sound familiar? But I might have just had it before.
It does not sound familiar.
It doesn't. You're right. It smells like
college.
Someone around the corner.
Yeah.
In downtown Denver.
Yes.
Smoking up a Uber.
Yeah. It has that and but doesn't it taste?
Oh, it tastes nice.
Very good. Yeah, I was gonna go there. Like the aroma masks. The real taste. It comes through like it does, and I thought it might be, you know, based on the first saison, it does not have that tartness. It's really clean tasting.
Hill Farmstead.
But look at that color. Look how bubbly it is. Look at those bubbles just jumping up.
Yeah.
It's highly effervescent.
Bouncing from the bottom.
It's almost got like a champagne type feel in the mouth.
Yes.
And the bubbles on it. It's like really effervescent. But the color's pretty clean. There's a slight haze in there. It's a nice, really, really high golden. Like where the first beer you said was like hay or like urine or apple juice. This one is like a clean, pale, like hazy white. It's really good.
Their web page, let's see, do they have it in English? Oh, I hate clicking on that British flag to get English.
They have U's in all their words that don't make any sense.
They actually list this beer on their page, and it's back to French. All right, regional beer. Yes, it's the same stuff that we just talked about. They call it a blonde with pronounced bitterness and a slight lemon aftertaste. I get that kind of lemony aftertaste. I can go with that.
Well, all my prep work has been undone.
The flavor, what did you, what was your thoughts on the flavor?
I don't know. I've drank 2 beers, so.
And you don't drink much beer or alcohol.
So this will be the only.
It's very delicious.
It's not as good as the first few sips, in my opinion.
What?
It's losing it a little bit for me.
Mm. I'm going to have to try it out then. I've been impressed with every sip.
It feels really mellow.
I still have the bubbles going. Again, like...
It is in a green bottle, so the thought of it being skunked is possible, right?
But it doesn't taste skunky. No, it doesn't have that. It has no sour.
Fill this whole table with smell. Either it was this beer or Loki getting scared of the Loki's our dog.
Maybe Loki ate some local produce
of the and his cork popping off, and he ran out of the room and left a little cloud behind him.
Do your neighbors grow?
Like that cartoon, the cartoons.
Poof. I don't know. I like it, but you're right. It doesn't have the sweetness or the depth of flavor of the second beer, of the Trappist. And, it, you know, but I liked it. Like this beer, I like the bubbliness
of
it.
Yeah.
It's like a, this would be the champagne of beers, not Miller High Life.
Yeah, try it again and see, because it does seem the flavor's changed.
Well, now it tastes more like club soda. I don't know if it's our palate shot, and that's why.
You know, like,
because I'm getting more of the bubbles and less of the flavor that I got off the first, or maybe because the scent died.
It's super poppy in your mouth from those bubbles, just like absolutely. It's like Pop Rocks, you know. Not the flavor of Pop Rocks, but that feeling of the...
Maybe we're all getting a little giddy because it goes right to your head, just like champagne.
This one is 6%, so not as bad as the last one. And the first beer was about 5%.
Yeah, but that last one, that one's tricky. So I mentioned earlier, girlfriend, she is a fan of the Belgian whites, and I've been doing a little bit more exploration. Oh, that's my recent beer experience.
There you go.
That I found a beer, you know, she tried to like IPAs, and some of them she can handle, like the juicy ones, but she's a bigger fan of the Belgian whites. But, you know, the challenge is when you get that higher alcohol content level. So finding a mellow one. But that Trappist would be a perfect flavor, but it's tricky because it hides. You can't really taste that 8%.
Yeah.
And so that would sneak up on you.
So these beers come in 375 milliliter
like bottles. A wine bottle.
So what does that mean? What's a milliliter?
A milliliter is 375, a thousandth of a liter.
Or a little.
It's less than a liter, right? So if it was 1 liter, it'd be 1,000 milliliters. So 750 milliliters is...
This is about 12.7 ounces in English, in American. 375 mls.
Oh, it's 370. I thought you said 750, though.
They also have...
Because that would be... That's like...
That's the big bottle.
That's like... Yeah, that's like this a is 375. Bottle of wine. Or the like a 750 milliliter. That's what, you know, the hand, not the handles, but the, you know, the fucking booze.
All right.
So I've got a Listomania, Chris.
All right, let's do a few of those.
I mean, unless we want to call
we're sipping on this guy.
Unless we want to call the Listomania the different flavor profiles on the propolis. Oh, that's a butterfly. Wild ales.
It's a butterfly. I thought it was a bee.
Urtica. Is that a bee? I thought all the bees were dead. Proboscis Brewing. I'm going to call it that. But that's not really what they're called. So, quick article, Listomania. 10 oldest breweries in the world. We mentioned how old the Belgian style of brewing is, going back to the 3rd or 4th century. But there's evidence that brewing beer goes back to 5,000 years BCE.
Yes.
So that would be 7,000 like years ago.
With
right.
Beer yeasts in them.
Records of the drink from the ancient Egyptians and ancient Mesopotamian civilizations. And the earliest commercial breweries emerged in 2500 BC. So again, if you add 2022 to 2500, approximately 5,000 years ago, rounding,
wow,
is when breweries started. And it was Budweiser, Coors, and Miller.
And Miller, yes. The trifecta.
So while none of them are on this list, two of the oldest breweries are nearly 1,000 years old.
Where are those at?
So shall we go? Should I cut to the top five instead of doing all 10? Yeah. So let me scroll to the top five there. So we'll put the link on our awesome. I think I've had that one. I've seen that before. Okay, that's 13. Damn, that's number 7. All right. We'll put the link up on our awesome Facebook page. Okay, so
Facebook.com/CNBC podcast.
Number 5, established in 1302. Pick a country, tell me what country. Probably wasn't called that in 1302, but what is current today this country?
The Ottoman Empire.
No.
Germany.
Yes. Cologne, Germany. And they have Kolsch, Fassbrauch. Good luck with my pronunciation. Cascara, Salmenhopfen, Mama Nero, Schwesterherz, Papa Rhein, and Plush Prum. But it's been around and still in existence since 1302.
All right.
The first breweries were entered in the public record. According to Gaffel, a brewery from this time period was located exactly where the modern brewery stands today.
All right. Trip to Cologne.
All right. Well, it's good because next one also is in Germany, the Bolton Brewery, and they were established in 1266.
Wow.
So that's 1,000 years? No, I can't do math. Mm-hmm. Long time ago. And they do an Altbier. So, Hell's. Those are good. Those are sours, too. The small brewery's techniques have been passed down from generation to generation, and the recipe and its quality has stayed mostly the same. Like, how do they know? Do they have something from 1266? How are they going to know that's been the same? Yeah. Unlike a few of the other old breweries in this list, Bolton is determined to remain small and not be taken over by a large international beer company.
Yeah,
today, Bolton Brewery is owned by Michael Hallman, who vows that the brewery's traditions will remain intact. Way to go, independent. All right, number 3 of the oldest breweries still in active breweries. Afligem Brewery in Opwijk, Belgium. So staying on topic, Belgium's got one. They got a blonde, a double, a triple, a cuvée florum, a cuvée carum, cuvée de Pere, cuvée natalis.
Some Belgian-style beers from Belgium.
Yes. It also started as a monastic brewery. The abbey was established in 1070, and then monks began making the beer. For the next few centuries, the monks lived peacefully. However, in the 14th century, the abbey and the brewery sustained damage from invading troops, and it was completely destroyed in 1580. They rebuilt it, but were shut down in 1794. It was closed the final time in 1940, and since 1970, the beers have been produced by. Oh, and they're owned by Heineken, so they're not Trappist. Number 2 from the year 1050, from Kelheim, Germany, Weltenberg Abbey Brewery. And the number 1 from Bavaria. Where else? Okay. established in 1040.
Wow.
Why Hennstefan Brewery? It's the oldest continuously operating brewery in the world. Its origin story begins in 725 when Saints, it's so old that saints were around then. Saint Corbin established a Benedictine monastery in Wyhesfen. Around 768, the monastery began brewing beer because there was a hop garden in the monastery's vicinity. The monastery's monks continued to brew beer over the next few hundred years, and in 1040, their beer brewing became official. Abbot Arnold obtained a license to brew and sell beer, which marked the official beginning of the monastery brewery. In 1921, the brewery got its modern name, Bavarian State Brewery, Wyhesfen. Since 1923, the brewery has used the Great Seal of the Bavarian State as its corporate logo. That's kind of cool.
Interesting. So sounds like there's these old breweries that you can still go and visit. And
but just that sense of age. You've been to England, and they recently closed this place, but the oldest pub in England, but it was from like 1057 or something like that, and they were still,
serving.
It was this tiny little slant floored place, but it had been continuously operated since the year 1000. That just blows my mind that much time, like especially this country, like we have crap that's old and was it 400 years old is the oldest thing we have,
mm-hmm.
and we probably tore it down to put a strip mall.
All right, Mike, let's sum up the beers for tonight. Three beers. We had, first of all, Propolis Brewing's Urtica. Second, we had a Shell Blonde Beer. And then third, we had La Vermontois from Blougie Brasserie and Hill Farmstead collaboration beer.
So the best impression I have tonight is to try to hear you speak with a French accent.
Which of these was your favorite of the evening?
I'd have to go with the Trappist. Trappist Akel.
Okay.
I thought that one had the best. I want more of that. Had the best flavor profile. The second one, I'd go with the bubbliness. I like the tart sour of the first one, but when I'm thinking Belgium, I don't like if I'm gonna have a saison with a weird flavor profile, I want that peppery yeast. Okay. I want less oppressive tartness and more of that challenge of the flavors between the yeast and the malt, and I got all sour in the first one. So that's where I'm going to go with this. But I really love the bubbles of the second
one. And still, after all this time,
it's Sherry, warmed up.
Which was your favorite?
Bubbling.
Of these three.
Oh, the...
don't grab the table.
Sorry. The Urtica, the Saison, the Wild Nettle Saison.
All right. Any reason?
It was a surprising start.
You're a fan of those ciders as well, and if you compare it to that.
Exactly.
The dry ciders.
In my wheelhouse.
I think my favorite also was the Urtica from Propolis Brewing. I would love to go to this brewery sometime and check out what else they have to offer.
Next work trip to Seattle.
Yeah, and I may be up there sometime. They have more beers at the beer store I go to, which is Heritage, right, on Arapaho Road here in
Greenwood
Colorado.
Village.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So great beer store if you're in the south of Denver suburbs. Not a sponsor, but you guys could be. We're pretty cheap. All right, Mike, you ready to do the outro here?
Of course I'm ready to do the outro. Thanks for listening to CNBC Episode 101. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or any other podcatcher, or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Belgian beers. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast. See podcast. You can go there and like. Do you still like things? I don't know.
I don't know. Follow something. Didn't Elon Musk buy Facebook?
That's the other one. You can also see our video episodes on YouTube, youtube.com/CNBC podcast. In fact, we're going to basically continue the theme of this episode with a video episode tied to this episode right after this.
I cannot wait.
So, pins and needles, guys. You can also follow us on Elon Musk's Twitter, at CNBC Podcast is where we are there. When we have new episodes, we post there. And, yeah.
TikTok? Mike,
no TikTok. We created an Instagram, but I don't know. That's a lot of work.
I want to see dancing videos on TikTok.
We're too old to do TikTok. That's why we have Facebook page. So for, you know, there's nobody young listening to us. Apparently, I can no longer get to the interwebs.
All right, Mike, our takeout quote is, milk is for babies. When you grow up...
I say the quotes!
I thought you couldn't get to it.
I can't.
Milk is for babies. When you grow up, you have to drink beer. What is that? Is that from?
I don't know, but cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Drink good beer.
Drink good beer.
So I'm going to open with a belch just so you...
I don't mind editing the front.
Right. Because this is just a start the cut version. Oh, intro. There we go. So, but we're 102, right?
No, this is 101.
Oh, it's already set.
Yeah, I usually update it after to the next one.
Because you're thorough like that.
One thing I do. That's my 30 seconds of prep.
Me.
La 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 la. Poppy sells
peas and carrots.